Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 122, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where you take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers. And fuck Fox News. It's really? Tuesday, February 25th, 2020. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. We'll go with Potatoes O'Brien. I didn't even think about making it.
Way to do your homework,
AKA.
O'Brien.
Fucked it up.
Didn't do your literature homework. Fucked that up, too.
Hey,
bye.
We are nailing it. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Speaking of lit, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. the Count of Monte Cosco, a.k.a. Ron Quixote, a.k.a. E.D. Ipis Rex, a.k.a. Waiting for Godot, my drug dealer, a.k.a. For Whom T-Bell Tolls, a.k.a. Atlas Nugged. And thank you to At Just TVZ, a.k.a.s, for that wonderful stream.
All the literary classics.
Oh, yeah. Never read one of them. Are they good?
Yeah. Atlas Nugged is really good.
Oh,
actually.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm a huge fan. We're actually going to talk about that later on, whether Atlas is nugging right now. But first, Miles, we're going on the road with our time machine. It's your producer, Anna Hosnier. We're leaving actually right as we say the last word on this episode.
We're traveling through space and time.
Sprinting to the airport to go to Minneapolis, February 25th at the Parkway Theater, POS, tonight. See you there, Minneapolis. Chicago, February 27th at Sleeping Village with Daniel Van Kirk. And Toronto, the grand finale, February 28th at the Great Hall with Mark Little. For tickets, go to dailyzeitgeist.com and go to the live appearances tab. And yeah, buy tickets. We're looking forward to seeing
good,
you.
Good, the important part. And then
I always stick the landing I've
you
found.
Get to the page and then look at it.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very talented and funny author of In Defense of Elitism, Why I'm Better Than You and You Are Better Than Someone Who Didn't Buy This Book. He is Mr. Joel Stein.
Oh, thank you for having me here.
Thanks
this is
for
very
being
exciting.
Here, man.
I didn't come up with any AKAs for myself.
That's
which
okay.
Was lazy.
Yeah.
Do you have any? Any nicknames you went by?
In actual life?
Yeah.
No, I've always wanted the nickname and no one ever gave me one that stuck at all. It's really, it doesn't speak well to my
personality. The closest was being called by your last name.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Just been Joel.
I've just been Joel, which is so.
Or Mr. Stein.
Usually it's Mr. Stein, sir.
Yes.
At home. That's just at home, though.
Yeah. It's just with your kids.
Yeah. And my wife.
Yeah.
Mr. Stein, sir.
Well, Joel, It's great to have you here. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about today. And I feel like the zeitgeist really cooperated with having somebody who just wrote a book called In Defense of Elitism on, because we are mourning the passing of the Flat Earth guy.
Mad Mike Hughes.
So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Weinstein being found partially guilty but sent straight to jail, which is satisfying. We're going to talk about Bernie Sanders' win in Nevada and the maybe connected stock market kind of going down a little bit or a lot bit. And just generally, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that, Joel. We're going to talk about Sylvester Stallone's new movie, which sounds like an old man's dystopian fantasy. We're going to talk about, you guessed it, the Paw Patrol controversy. Paw Patrol, a kid's cartoon that, if you're lucky, you probably don't know anything about, but is probably the piece of culture that I am most familiar with over the past 2 years of my life, is under attack, under fire from the radical left.
Gay Teletubby thing? No, no, from the radical left.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Radical left is kind of, yeah. Sort of
are they saying it's pro cop?
They're saying it's no. They're saying it's pro privatization of of things like police service and fire service. It's not a very solid argument based on my extensive knowledge, but it was not presented as such. It's one of those things where the conservatives are finding a way to kind of be like, "We're fucked. They're coming for our Teletubbies and." Although, not Teletubbies, I guess that was their beef. They're coming for our Paw Patrol. But first, Joel, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is
notes.
Revealing about who you are?
I thought I was just supposed to tell you the last thing I should
That's
search.
Good, too.
Does that seem more honest?
That's more revealing.
It sort of is, but the last thing I Googled was how to pronounce Vilfredo Pareto.
Okay.
Which is someone, an Italian economist who... came up with the idea, this essay in 1900 called The Circulation of the Elites. And I had mentioned him on another podcast, and the other person had a different pronunciation, and we got into a physical altercation.
Over it, yeah.
Who was right?
I was right. But only probably because I said it in the audiobook, so I probably had already checked.
Got it.
But I'd forgotten that.
What was the dispute over? What
Pareto versus Pareto.
Pareto.
Rookie mistake.
It's Pareto.
Yeah.
You hate to see it.
Hate to see it.
What is something you think is overrated?
The gut. Everyone,
the gut.
Like how you feel. Like my whole book is about the expertise over the gut. So I think, you know, I just had an instinct or I just knew, like, as David Foster Wallace said, like, the thing that I most intimately know in my gut is that I am the most important person in the exact center of the universe.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. Yeah, and I've heard you kind of talk about this in relation to both Trump and Bernie Sanders and like sort of the populist movement being something that appeals to the gut as opposed to the brain. What is that? Is that kind of where you're coming from, or is that
the feeling that some other person or group of people are out to get you and that the system can just be fixed if we just get rid of the bad guy? Instead of actual systemic fixes.
Right.
And that you just feel like something is right and you just feel like you know more than the generals. That's the stuff that scares me.
Right.
The amount of where's the book of mistakes the gut has led us to also?
Yeah.
Just as important.
Yeah. I think that, do you think that Sanders is equally guilty as Trump or like?
No,
Okay.
I think he's guilty, but no, not at all. No, they're not in the same league.
Right. Because I mean, I see how his sort of villainization of the wealthy could be seen as an easy answer, but it does seem like a lot of his proposals are fairly systemic. They're not just
some
like,
of them are, but some of the systemic ones also seem like they're from the gut. Like when he talks about putting a farmer on the Fed Board of Governors, I feel like we'd have two reasons we wouldn't eat if he did that.
Right.
And some of his proposals, I think, are really like the economist he has, I think, is very fringy and doesn't believe in the fact that like, you know, the higher inflation will cause more unemployment. And So yes, I feel like he has some things from the gut, some of which are that, you know, rich people are stealing money from poor people, kind of right. illegally in shady ways, compared to we just have a system in right. which people are allowed to accumulate.
It happens above board.
Money. Yeah, right. exactly.
Yeah. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. Okay, I did this story on biohacking, and I now feel strongly that sleep is underrated.
Okay.
I know that sounds totally lame and Ariana Huffington-ish, but I do think like having good, solid, deep sleep and good REM sleep is super important, and we're not focusing on the things that will help us at all.
Did you not used to be a believer in sleep? You're sort of like, I just feel like this because of other things, maybe not because I only need 5 hours of sleep, or what was...
I would definitely have put sleep under... nutrition and under maybe even exercise, and now I don't at all.
Right.
You put it above or like on the same?
I put it above. And the simple way to think about that is like, could you go without 2 days of sleep, eating, or exercise?
Right. Yeah. I would be a fucking wreck.
Yeah. Yeah. But yet, like, if I just have to like get some work done, I'll stay up till like 3 a.m.
Yeah. I also wonder if it has something to do with like the point at your life you're in. Like, I used to be able to do all-nighters, and I no longer can even remotely do an all-nighter.
Your sleep gets worse as you get older, especially right. your deep sleep and your REM.
Yeah.
Also, alcohol really messes up your sleep.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it, like, I used to think that drinking made me sleep more soundly because I could sleep for 17 hours.
But it's a crappy sleep then.
Right. It's bad sleep. You're poisoned. It's not restful sleep.
Yeah. Same with like Ambien. Like you get more sleep, but it's like kind of just light sleep. It's not that great restorative.
Right. Yeah.
Wait, so what kind of biohacking were you doing for your sleep?
For the sleep part?
Yeah.
You know, I would dim the lights in my house at night.
Okay.
I would sleep in a colder place, you know, keep my house colder. I would go to sleep and wake up at the same time all 7 days a week.
Right.
Were you doing it for a book or a project?
I did it for an article for Medium.
Oh, okay. And what was like the wildest thing you did for the bio, like that wasn't one of the basic like sleep, you know, going to bed at the same time?
Three times a week before working out, I got in a cryo chamber.
Okay.
Which got down to like -200-something degrees.
Oh my God. How long did you stay in there?
Just 3 minutes.
Okay. It seems 3 minutes at
that wasn't the craziest thing I did, though. I'm trying to think of the craziest things I did. This stuff called PEMF, which you lie on a bed or sit in a chair and they turn the electricity up, and it like it feels like something the Shah of Iran would have created. But it like sends shocks throughout you that's supposed to like go to where you need your muscles need to be healed.
Oh. Huh.
Did that work? Seemingly?
No.
Jury's out.
Jury's right, way out. Yeah, right, it definitely right. hurt.
Jury no, yeah. has not come back yet. Okay.
Did you feel like the cryo thing helped? Because I've heard mixed things about that.
You know, I'm not particularly sensitive to my body. I didn't feel like it did anything.
Okay. Yeah. Miles, but, you got to do this body hacking stuff. Because yeah, man. Miles is the most sensitive to his body.
Oh, is that right?
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, like whenever I feel a...
He's wearing comfy clothing.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. I'm sensitive. Yeah.
Yes.
I feel what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Nothing less than billowy fleece robes.
And this is, can you, like, this is true about sounds and crowded environments and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like hypersensitive. I've pretty sensitive.
My son
that
is
sense.
That.
Yeah. I wonder, I mean, but then at the same time, I'm not necessarily like a fitness person. So I don't know if I would be like, oh yeah, man. With the
right.
cryo shit,
right.
I pushed out like 8 more max reps on that shit.
You used all the terms though.
Yeah, I mean, you sound like a fitness guy.
Yeah,
max
you know.
You sound like Arnold.
I have a lot of toxic friends I got to keep up with, man.
Pushed out 6 more max reps.
Max reps, you know what I mean? So
oh, yeah.
I'm going to go cryo now.
You said it.
In the
go
bathroom.
Cryo. Go cryo.
Cryo in the bathroom.
my favorite special song.
Yeah.
And finally.
English beat?
What no, is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Oh, well, I run in a pretty liberal crowd, and the myth that bothers me the most is that Trump voters are ill-informed and voting against their own interests, and if we just explain things to them, they'll change their mind.
Right.
Right.
No, but here's the deal.
Right.
Your factory job is gone. All right,
your soybean tariffs are hurting your... Yeah, that's
right.
not going to work.
Yeah, yeah. I think
they know what they're doing. People vote altruistically, right? So like lots of really rich people who are liberals will vote for higher taxes
right.
and lots of farmers will vote for soybean tariffs because they're voting for the what they think the country should be.
Right, which is sticking it to the libs and just like cultural stuff. Like why do you think when because you, for your book, you went down to a town that voted more uniformly for Trump than any other county.
Yeah, 96% of the county, the highest the highest percentage of Trump voters in Texas.
And what, like, would you say that that was an experience that revealed something to you about Trump?
Yeah.
Or what they're preserving?
Yeah. I think that there's a cosmopolitan elite that I'm very proud to be part of. Mm. And the way that, like, I connect to the globe and think about the world is so dystopic to these people.
Right.
Like, when they think about Los Angeles or any city, they think about homeless people and people who don't know their neighbors and people who are looking at their phone all day and only interested in their status. And they just...
Wait, where's the lie?
Right.
Where's the lie?
Where's the lie?
No.
Those are all
They're
accurate.
Not wrong. Yeah, they're not no, wrong right. at all. But they yeah. see that
boil
as like...
distill that down to... Right.
They see that as the future of the country.
Right.
And they want to stop that and restore it to kind of a... what you still probably see in the shrinking rural parts of this country. And it's an existential threat to them. And they do not like Donald Trump. But they have said to me, like, if you have a cockroach infestation and you hire an exterminator and he has his butt crack showing and he's cursing, but he gets the job done, you hire him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, famously comparing the diverse population to cockroaches.
Yes, no, I did.
That's good. Always
that's
good.
That's like, oh boy, yeah, okay, I get it. Yep. Cockroach, yeah, you got the and roaches here,
I
you know
start
what I mean?
Feeling very
that was one of the times I felt
town.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, there are a couple absolutely. Things said that I was like, oh, please don't make me write this in my book because you seem like such nice people.
Right.
All right, let's talk about, I'll be interested to hear your thoughts on the
Thank
Flat
you.
Earth group.
I'm against them.
Okay.
Man.
Wow.
Didn't see it coming.
Huh.
Damn it.
No, so there's a guy by the name of Mad Mike Hughes who was trying to prove that the Earth was flat by going into space. It seems like there has to be an easier way to do that.
A lot of the other experiments they try end up proving that the Earth is round, and then they're like, well, nah, it can't be that one then.
Okay. Got it.
Like in that Netflix documentary, famously, they did an experiment where they were sending a laser across like a distance that was just enough that you would be able to detect the curvature of the Earth.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, that laser was pointing like at an angle
right.
because of the curvature of the Earth. And they're like, nah, man, this can't be it. let's check it again.
Right.
And they're like, nah, man, it's right.
Huh.
And then it's like back to the drawing board. So I guess for Mad Mike Hughes, he was like, I'm going to make a steam-powered rocket
uh-huh.
and go as high as I can, and then I'll be able to see from up there. That's the deal. I can see the ice wall from here, or whatever he believed he would see from up there.
Or he could just get on one of those cruises that goes around the world.
Right.
Well,
right?
In those ones, there's other things about, like, those cruises are ran by, like, you know, the global cabal of, like, firmament deniers who want you to believe
right.
that the Earth is round. So, like, the cruise ships will never actually get to a place where you would be able to see what they believe is the edge of the Earth.
But how do they think you get back to where you started? They turned around?
They
at
think
some point?
They turned around.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
It's a hoax.
Man.
Australia is a country where people fly to. But it's a hoax. But it's a hoax.
Australia is not real?
Australia's not real.
Yeah.
It's actors.
You know what? I spent a month there and I think they may be right.
It seemed
a little too close to the Western U.S. They had that weird. It just seemed like I hadn't gone that far.
Right. And sometimes they would slip out of their accent just accidentally.
Yeah, it was like a little too like cowboy.
Come on, this is fake, guys.
Yeah.
So this guy, right, he took on Saturday, he went up in his rocket. There's a video of it, and it's just pretty sad. Like,
yeah,
it goes up. There was supposed to be a chute that deployed for him to safely return, and the chute just, I think, deployed incorrectly.
No, it deployed right away. Like, as
went up
as
it
was taking off, like the initial plume of whatever was propelling him upward was like had a torn up parachute mixed in with it, like as it cleared.
And then it just came right back down.
Yeah, and then
this
it just
sort
came
of
back
proves
down.
My theory that rockets don't exist.
There you go.
They don't really work. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
the thing was, he was recording, he was doing a new TV series called Homemade Astronauts on what in this article describes the U.S. Science Channel.
Which isn't.
I don't know which one that is.
Yeah, again,
I think they meant, because it's from the Independent in the U.K., the Science Channel here in the U.S.
Is there a Science Channel?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what they said in their statement is, our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and friends during this difficult time. It was always his dream to do this launch, and Science Channel was there to chronicle his journey.
But that's tough.
I mean, the guy, that's such a weird state. Like, you were making a show.
Is this like a real channel that I'd get on if I had a cable box?
Yeah.
People, it really, and so they were okay with this?
That's not good.
That's a weird statement to have for, we basically captured and are will probably be exploiting this man's tragic death for our show, Homemade Astronauts.
Yeah.
The idea, even the name is like dangerous.
Knife right. Catchers. Yeah, on right. Science Channel.
It's like, right. Whoa.
Yeah.
And check out the new spinoff, Baby Knife Catchers. So, yeah, that is an interesting statement from them. But
holy shit.
They have.
Do lots of people die on reality TV shows, like Ice Road Truckers or like. Are people dying all the time on TV?
I remember on Deadliest Catch, very early on, there was like someone passed away and that was like big news.
They went overboard?
I think so. Something like that.
On camera?
I don't know if it was on camera during right. production.
Okay.
Someone, like one of the crew people, I don't know if the crew, but like, or people on the boats did. But I don't, not that like, I know that it's like a dangerous path, like that reality, I mean, reality, being on a reality show ruins your life in another way.
Yeah.
Not in a physical way.
But so, it sometimes doesn't. Like I tried out for The Real World London mm-hmm. and I got to the final, like when they fly you to New York and interview you. And I've interviewed the guy who got my place instead of me. And it didn't affect his life that much. Like, no one remembers that he was on it.
Oh, really?
It rarely comes up. It's interesting.
That's that really cast interesting. Was a little bit hard to remember when I think about it.
Especially the guy who was kind of like me.
Yeah. I like how you said to me, like, I met the guy. In my mind, you've been stalking him just to confront him. Be like, hey, motherfucker, remember me? You're like, what?
Did he look like somewhat similar to you? Were they like casting to a type?
Yes, they were casting to a type.
Did you guys like get along really famously?
I only called him recently for something I was working on. So I never met him. So he was like, he's a playwright. And yeah, they cast him instead of me because John Murray, when I interviewed him later, told me that he was afraid I'd never get laid.
Mm.
Wow.
Did he really?
Yep.
Wow.
And cutting.
But tell me what you really
but
thought.
But correct.
Yeah.
Even with the help of a TV show. Which one was it?
It was The Real World London.
No, but which guy on the cast?
It was this, I'm blanking his name. This proves my point.
Mike, Jay, Neil?
Jay.
Jay.
What's Jay's last name?
Jay Frank from Portland, Oregon?
Yeah, that's a guy.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, this was when I looked through, I'm like, I don't really remember many of the people from this. I remember Jacinda.
Yeah, I remember that. Didn't somebody get their tongue almost bitten off in Real World London? Or am I thinking about a different one?
Forrester.
In what? But in making out with someone, or how does
I think
happen?
So.
The most notable event of the season occurs when cast member and singer Neil Forrester kisses a male heckler during a performance, who then bites the tip of Forrester's tongue off.
Yeah, I remember that being.
Wait, so he forced a kiss on a heckler, and the heckler bit his tongue off?
Yeah,
that's how we knew Brexit was going to happen.
There it was. It would be so interesting if you went and like looked at this person's life and it was like one of those longitudinal studies of identical twins where it's like they have like all the same things, like all the same interests. And it's like I have three kids and their names are the same as your kids' names too. if real world casting was like that.
But you know, I think my theory with the real world not ruining your life is I feel like those early people, like the first five seasons, they got away pretty scot-free.
Around it was somewhere between a social experiment.
Miami,
and what
around
we have
the Miami
now.
Cast, I felt like the temperature started to get turned up on the real world, where we saw like a lot more like interesting, darker shit going on. Our characters were a little bit more.
So you think it like, affected their lives more, or they were just already messed up? And
well, I'm curious about
up.
Like Ruthie from Hawaii. Who like had it was like struggling with her drinking on the show, and even remember afterwards people saying like that lifestyle was only contributing worse to her alcoholism.
Well,
I think
it seems
she
like they started drinking a lot more on the show.
On the show,
yeah.
I don't know. Hey,
like
look,
there was actual. I remember the first season. There was actual boredom where they were like sitting around. Yeah. And like shooting pool and being like, there's really nothing to do because they don't let you watch TV. So they're like, something's going to happen because you're not allowed to watch TV. You're not allowed to like do anything besides interact with each other. And so I think what a lot of our instincts are when we're, you know, forced to be in socially uncomfortable situations is to drink. And if they just provide you with a place and an environment to drink in, maybe it's not the best.
I mean, I think Ruthie's doing well because
good.
She's posting, you know, really great travel pics.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Okay. So good, she's definitely Ruthie. Been to Mallorca in Spain.
That seems right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women. creating sustainable size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit-tested for all-day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Zyte gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
And we're back. And Harvey Weinstein was found partially guilty, convicted. But a couple of the charges that would have put him in jail for up to life did not. He was not found guilty of those.
What is life for Harvey Weinstein at this point?
Right. Well, so that's the thing is, as of now, it's between 50 and or 5 and 30 years. And, you know, he's what, 67?
67, I think.
67. So, I mean, if it's towards
the upper
end of that.
But it's not been a healthy 67.
Right. Yeah. No. That's also a good point. Not looking great. And they took him straight to jail. His attorney was like, well, let's, you know, leave him out while he waits sentencing. And they were not having that. The judge, you know, send him to jail right away, which is...
He's in jail right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were talking in past episodes that legal scholars were saying that it, you know, this was a daring case for the prosecution to bring because it relied on a lot of different, like, factors and, mm-hmm. you know, things that wouldn't normally get prosecuted in court just because of how these sorts of cases usually go. And... So I think this has to be, you know, seen generally as just a win, and shouts out to the women.
It's definitely a landmark
stepped forward
case.
Yeah,
and it's especially, I mean, his defense was sort of like this. I mean, some of these women were using him actually,
right?
So yeah, like you can tell when you sort of get in these, why a lot of these sort of cases are harder to prosecute, especially when you have someone who like has high powered lawyers who are able to be as slippery as like, no, he was the one being used, Your Honor, and everything was consensual. And if they didn't like it, then why would they keep talking to him?
Right.
And then just sort of narrowly just defend it on that, on those grounds. But yeah, he will, I guess, so it's up to 25, you said, or 30 is the most?
I thought it was up to 30.
Wow.
Five to up to 30.
Right.
So, I mean, the low end is inexcusable, but there's also a case that's coming up in LA that might add time onto that. So we'll see how that goes. All right. In the Democratic primary, Bernie Sanders had definitely his most convincing win yet in this Democratic primary in Nevada. People are saying that Nevada's demographically looks a lot like the country in terms of diversity. And a lot of Democratic strategists are now, you can kind of feel them getting their mind around the fact that like this might be the guy.
It's a huge win.
Yeah, it's
the first time someone had the popular vote in the first three early state primaries too, I think.
Right. Ever. Yeah.
I went to the caucuses one year. I think the first year.
The Nevada caucuses?
Yeah. I went to the Bellagio.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's supposed to be this caucus like Iowa where people discuss and they go to different parts of the room. I walked into this big ballroom. And Hillary Clinton had just walked by me. It was Clinton versus Obama. And she had walked by me. And then suddenly I asked her a question and the press showed up. And I show up in this ballroom and everyone's wearing their union shirts. And this union leader gets on stage and he's like, everyone for Hillary? And everyone raised their hand. And he's like, great, we're done.
Oh, really?
It's like 5 seconds the whole thing lasted.
Mm. Wow.
And it's the first time I was like, unions are way more powerful than I thought. And Bernie didn't have their support and he killed nevertheless.
Yeah. That was, I think, surprised some people. Although I think heading into the weekend, people were starting to get a sense that he was going to run away with it. But at first, when the
Culinary Union
went against him, people were starting to think that he might be in trouble or that Elizabeth Warren might be able to use some of the momentum from just murdering Bloomberg on the last debate. And
that's the thing about murdering someone in a debate or it's like, or Pete and Amy Klobuchar, it's a murder-suicide pact.
Right.
Like everyone hates you for doing it and you destroy the other person.
Well, I think maybe for the Pete and Amy one, but I think—
That one seemed like it was just they couldn't help themselves. Pete
no,
and Amy.
No, it's
going
real.
At it. It was real.
Yeah, a lot of the tweets that were funnier were being like, I was like, they were definitely in a relationship. That we revealed it right there.
Right.
Yeah, and I think just even with like the whole— As you were saying, like as the results were coming in and even at like 60%, like it became clear what the outcomes were. Chris Matthews, again, had to go on a Maginot line comparison of the Germans breaching, like comparing this campaign to that. And again, people were like, here we go. What's he up to now?
Yeah.
And yeah, a lot of people have been like resigned to apologize to holy shit. What the fuck was that?
Do we think he's doing this on purpose at this point?
No, I think he believed his sentiment around an emerging, what he's labeled like capital S socialist, is like genuinely frightening to him as like a person.
Right.
Because I've never seen him go completely like viscerally like, and you never know what's next, like beheadings in Central Park. It's like, really? That's an out loud thing you're saying?
He definitely seems shaky when he's doing it.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't follow Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews
from Hardball. Yeah.
No, I know. I've been on Hardball, and but he is anti-Bernie because he thinks Bernie will lose the nomination, or he just hates Bernie. He's afraid of Bernie as a president, or he's afraid of Bernie's nomination.
The last two things that have gotten him hot water have been comparisons to like some that there will be public executions as a result of socialism.
Literally.
He said that he remembers a time in the Cold War. Like, he's like saying it in this way. Okay. Like, I remember a time when we were afraid of socialism and I thought that maybe there would be, you know, a socialist would win and there would be people marched into Central Park and assassinated. And
then Chris Hayes was like, wait, but he hasn't said anything remotely close. Like, relating to that. And he goes, I don't know, but has he? We don't know.
It was like the very.
Wait, Chris Hayes tried to give him like a, hey, right. you want to readjust there? Right. And he didn't. And then again, when it became clear that he won, it was like, yeah. And he's like, I remember, you know, when Churchill got the call that they've broken through.
Yeah.
And it was just like, whoa, okay.
It is interesting to see MSNBC because, I mean, I think people, if people have a general like left-right dichotomy, MSNBC is the left to Fox News is right.
Right.
But MSNBC seems to be having the hardest time dealing with this leftist candidate.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's a, like a lot of, I mean,
Chris
that's
Jansing,
become a story.
Chris Jansing, who's another one of their anchors or correspondents, she was in Vegas during the caucuses in Nevada. And at one point she was like, yep, and we're looking in here. When you look in the room, it's pretty clear that especially with some of these Latino voters, there's a lot of support for Bernie Sanders. She like sighed like audibly. It was weird.
Right.
Like it was, yeah. I don't know. And again, I think because they've been really between like, who's a Chuck Todd, even with his like digital brown shirts comment that he made.
Yeah.
There's been a lot where people have just been kind of noticing how they're very focused on sort of pointing out whatever the absolute bad shit is or how can they like vilify.
Right.
Versus being like, that's why there's also a lot of opinion pieces coming out too from other political writers who are sort of like, okay, so that was unequivocal. Like right. what happened in Nevada. Like people need to actually begin figuring out what they're going to do here because like just sort of like dragging your feet about this is not going to help if you're truly about, if you're even narrowly about, we have to defeat Trump.
Yeah.
So what is it going to be?
Yeah. And I mean, it's, you know, when Trump was sort of surging through the Republican primaries, I think Fox News initially had sort of a partially, you know, never Trumper stance
yeah.
where they were like, well, is this guy really good? And, you know, that was probably born out of Fox News being more closely allied with the Republican Party than they were with
right.
anybody in Trump's orbit. And then once Trump became the official, you know, Republican nominee, it's just interesting because Trump, you know, just went into that role and became like the party guy and just he didn't change really what he was doing, but the party, I guess, changed to meet him there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He
if
never
that
became
happens.
The party guy. I mean, he was always railing against
right.
W and McCain. And
yeah,
the,
I guess the party
and,
just
and
adopted him as their guy.
The voters did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But
after
yeah, the
after the voters did. Yeah. 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 I guess that's right. I feel like it was the RNC was when, you know, you started having the Republican Party just kind of coming around and being like, well, he's our guy. We got to go with it. And telling Ted Cruz to fuck off for yeah. not coming around. So I don't know. It's very interesting. We're recording this Monday morning, and the Dow Jones is in kind of a downward spiral.
It's sad.
It's really.
Thoughts and prayers.
Think of the people.
Think of the portfolios.
Think of the portfolios. But I do wonder, like, if this is connected. I mean, the like Trump got in. He gave. Gave companies a huge tax break. Like, is, you know, Bernie would presumably do something not that?
I think this is pretty coronavirus related.
You think this is coronavirus related?
Yeah, I think people have issued some reports of their losses and
okay.
People are freaking out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, because it's not just our stock market. Although, of course, our president affects all the stock markets.
Yeah,
but
right.
it's Hang Seng.
Because like Fox News is like, I don't know, is it Bernie? I don't know.
Were they?
Yeah, yeah. That was like on Fox Business.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure, again, they know with the economy being like the only argument that Trump could have where like on paper, you'd be like, yeah, I guess that's not in technically negative space.
Yeah.
Like that's what they can hold on to. But yeah, I mean, also too, when you think about the amount of, I was talking to a couple people I know who work at a pretty large multinational like garment company
mm-hmm.
and they're, their company is in utter chaos right
yeah.
now because of like
because of coronavirus.
Yeah, all the distribution chains are like messed up. They have people stationed all over the world who are also like trying to be like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to come back. There's a lot.
But can we blame Bernie for the coronavirus? Spread?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. that's the question we all
well,
need to
you
be
can,
asking.
Well, no, but Bernie can blame the lack globalization. Yeah. Both he and Trump can both blame globalization, and that we've become so dependent on each other that we can't function as soon as China fails.
Like, right.
That we have to become more self-sufficient. I mean, they're both in that way against trade, against TPP, against NAFTA, against right. globalization. So, I mean, that's where I get upset as the pro-elitist.
Right. Is that you think that globalization is... I mean, it, just from a, like, sort of politically, like, a strategic perspective, do you think that Sanders has the best shot of winning against Trump, or do you think that...
No.
No?
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything. I'm not going to predict. Mm-hmm. I'm not in that business. I'm barely trying to figure out what happened, like, 4 years ago.
Right, right.
But I would say, from looking at Jeremy Corbyn getting trounced by the hated Boris Johnson, who
right.
that's one factor. And I think the 2018 elections, where the important purple states were won by very conservative Democrats.
Right.
And just how much Americans are freaked out by the word and notion of socialism in any form.
Yeah.
Not Democrats, but like independents. Especially low information voters.
I don't know
in
if the Corbyn, it's a one-to-one comparison to Corbyn between like their perception within the country and sort of their base. But I think to the point of...
It's pretty close. It's like some very liberal backbencher who had been around for a long time kind of yelling
the same
thing.
I think there's a lot more... The people who, at least from looking at a lot of like the people who were voting in Nevada too, like the amount of people who even identified as conservatives and independents who he got... Mm-hmm. I was really surprised by that because I wasn't sure. I was curious to see what that sort of sliver became. I think with a lot of the strategies that they're employing, especially like with their ground game, is very different in trying to reach as many people. So it'll be interesting to see how it works. I'm less afraid of the sort of like McGovern effect thing that many people are talking about, because at the end of the day, I think the people who are scared of the sort of socialism tag tend to be the older voters.
Yeah.
Because that's where you see like over 65, like he's underwater. Like no one is even getting near him.
But they vote.
Yeah, they
young
vote
people,
too.
Young people and I need think to that's get out where, and vote if they want that to not matter.
Those are the dynamics though at right. play though too, because now you have a generation where like for me as a millennial, like I grew up seeing Gen Xers and boomers be like, oh, cool, you go to college and then like you can own a fucking house.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what the fuck happened? Like when I got out in 2007, I'm like, the opportunities are completely different, yet I'm looking for an explanation as to how I can prosper in a similar way. And I'm unwilling to accept sort of like, I don't know, man, we got to like, there are other ways to figure it out.
But
and
you
it,
moved to Los Angeles. You're not in
I grew
Pennsylvania,
up
Wisconsin. Oh, you, yeah, but yeah. you're in Los Angeles. Yeah, you're not yeah. in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania.
Right.
You're, absolutely. And yeah. I think the reason why it's catching on though is maybe people might not be able to articulate in the exact same way, but there is a feeling of like, I think it's supposed to be different than this.
Right.
But I like, just feel that those people who feel that way, mm-hmm. in election after election around the world, seem to vote for like the far right autocrat, like whether right. it's Australia or England. Like I haven't seen a place where the far left guy beats the far right guy.
Well, I think it'll be an experiment because yeah. if that happens, we
I don't want an experiment. Right. Like this
no,
is
I mean,
not the time for experiments.
Sense, I think because you know, but when we run like sort of through the middle candidates, it doesn't. It's been not great. Like it seems like the energy that people have. At least going into an election or at least a change election would be something that's a little bit that offers a bit of a different vision than what the sort of straight up the middle John Kerry, Hillary Clinton sort of.
Bill
yeah.
Clinton.
Yeah. And well, even like Obama
Bill
had
Clinton.
Had the allure of a
that's
massive
what
progressive,
yeah.
but then had to tack back to center.
My suspicion is that America after the economic crisis, it was like a lot of people became certain like the fix is in because we had Obama running as the crisis was unfolding. He was kind of going out there with more of a socialist message of, you know, leaning socialist, not like I'm going to forgive the banks. It was like, you know, I'm a man of the people. And then once he got into office, he just like kind of acquiesced to what the kind of financial interests wanted. And I just think that there are people who are like, there's this narrative, like the mainstream media narrative that's out there. And the Democratic Party is part of that. And like the Never Trumper Republicans are part of that. And I just don't trust it anymore. And I think that's where like a lot of the populist energy is coming from, is that there was this financial crisis that never really got properly Like it was just sorted. Like, yeah, yeah, we just gave them the money.
I think that's a hard sell to most Americans in a booming economy. It's 12 years ago. I just don't know.
But what's a booming economy to somebody in a state like Wisconsin or Pennsylvania who can't support like even like to be a single parent and you can't do it with one job?
But yeah. I think that's been a reality for 30 years.
Sure, like, well, yeah, but I think that's where I think we're reaching a tipping point where now it was easy to sort of rhetorically or like use different kinds of political, you know, rhetorical things to distract people from that versus now being like, well, no, what the fuck is going on?
I think the revolution that's happening in India, Europe, here is not an economic one. I just don't. I think people are upset about the way the country has changed on a non-economic basis. I think people are freaked out about changes that no one in this room thinks is weird. Like when I went to Miami, Texas, like I don't think trans rights are new. I don't think gay marriage is new. I don't think, but things happen so quickly and it's not being processed by people in rural areas. And they've got a lot of power in our system.
But on the other side of that, if you were on the left, that wouldn't be obscure to you. But there's still... Where's that momentum coming from? Like, I guess in that world of if the revolution.
The cities are becoming bigger and stronger.
Right.
And I think people are freaking out about that. And I don't think telling them that they're going to not pay for college is going to have any resonance other than screw you, I paid for my kids' college.
Well, yeah, that's the one thing you always hear back from people who have paid. But I think that's where. If
you're going to give that person insurance who doesn't work, I have a job, I'm scraping by, and I earned my insurance. I don't know. I just
yeah. Something you heard from the Culinary Union though, where people were like, why would you vote for Sanders when your union gives you this great insurance? And that's what they're saying. Sanders would take away your insurance, and they were like, yeah, but I might lose my job. Like
then what? And choice, though, too, like, let's be real. The people who are putting together these insurance plans are the stakeholders themselves. So it's not in their business interest to offer people good health insurance. So I think that's another myth, though, to say, like, well, there's this choice. But like who is offering people like actually dignified sort of truly like humane health care where it's like, what's going on? What do you need? And the next question is like, well, what plan are you on?
Right.
Because then that's the second thing we got to. And I think that's the sort of gridlock or the logjam that people are trying to address, because then it's not humane. Now it's like there's a caste system within what kind of medical care you can get.
Yeah. And I think obviously the fact that there's all these new forms of media that are not like going through the same process, they're not the same outlets that people have been using for decades at least, is also affecting this. And, you know, from a bad perspective, Facebook causing deadly riots in countries in India, I think there was one. But I also think that people, you know, like back in the 90s, MSNBC was where you would go to find out like what the Democratic take was, like who Democrats would vote for. And now it feels like there's plenty of other ways to interact and communicate on that front.
Oh, so just not from like a singular source or
something? Yeah, yeah. And I mean, just, Facebook obviously is not where we want people to be getting their information from, but I do think that—
Wait, just give Mark Zuckerberg some rules.
Well, but that's what we saw with in the 2016 election, is that was more influential than anyone was giving it credit for in the run-up to the election, was, you know, people being influenced by the fact that there are these more democratically determined forms of communication than what has happened in the past. And that can be, you know, a bad thing, obviously, but I think it can also be partially explaining why there's populist movement on the left, too. All right. Well,
the marathon continues.
It does. Let's take another break. We'll be right back.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back, and let's talk about Sylvester Stallone's new film. I've said before on the show that I think he's, you know, in the 80s, he was one of America's leading propagandists, if not America's leading propagandist. He had Rocky IV and Rambo II came out in the same year, and we're like 2 and 3 at the box office for the year, and it was like Rambo goes back and wins the Vietnam War, and Rocky wins the Cold War for America. Done and done, left and right. And he's continued to try and do that in the modern era with kind of to less effect. He had Rambo
whatever that
5, 6 come out.
Was that the one with like the narco trafficker?
Yeah, and it was
plot.
Yeah, it was plot. Basically, you know, an argument for the wall type thing.
Oh, I interviewed him for that.
Really?
Which year was this?
This was
like the last 2 years. No, the one before
the
Rambo
the one before
that.
Where that was also dealing with
And that one was just sort of like everyone was like, dude, it's one of the most violent films ever, right?
Yeah,
wasn't that like the hook? Not even like the narrative. It's like, I don't know, man. People's heads are just. I don't remember what it was about, but it was super
wild.
Violent. Yeah,
yeah. So the last Rambo movie had weird, you know, things about the Mexican border and did not do very well and was critically panned. But.
Ugh.
He's back.
Yeah.
With another movie.
With Little America.
About where we're headed.
He's slowly been getting, you know, some more distribution deals going for this film. So this is what Little America is about.
Wait, it's called Little America?
Yeah. Oh, wait till you hear why.
Much like the Apple, the Kumail Nanjiani show is called Little America. Yeah.
So set in a dystopian future where America has become bankrupt and turned into a war zone, Stallone will play a former Army Ranger hired by an Asian billionaire to find his daughters. With the highly skilled sister of the missing woman along for the ride, Sly's Ranger must navigate the dark underbelly of Little America, a walled-off city within a city in Hong Kong where many Americans have fled.
No.
Wow. There are layers to that cake.
This is what I was talking about with the far right thinking that America is a dystopia now.
Yeah.
City within a... And like that's the kind of thing where they're saying, like, pretty soon, we're going to be going to these other countries.
Yeah.
Right. And there's going to be a Little America where they talk shit about our food like
right.
we do theirs.
Yeah.
Oh, no, my nightmare. Yeah. I'm curious to see what these sets look like.
Right.
What...
Like if there's like
everything about this trailer.
You can get a hamburger here?
Hey, what do you mean you got?
Wait, there's a Little America in Osaka that I've been to.
Oh, yeah, really? They have little places like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's like Ameyoko in Tokyo that was more of like a former black market where like GIs were trading stuff during like the end of the war.
Yeah, and there's like, yeah, that. But this is the one in Osaka is literally like American flags and, you know, the hamburger restaurants. And it's like a little weird, you know, anime version of America.
Huh.
I hope that's
the dystopian one where it's refugee Americans.
Mm, that's different.
Right. Like, what do they do? Like, you get around and, like, sing Nickelback by the fire or something?
Like, oh, little America, damn
those
it.
Those were the days.
Can you name a Nickelback song?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Miles goes deep with Nickelback.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, give me the hit.
Oh, man. From underneath the trees, we watch the skies, confusing stars for satellites. I never dreamed that you'd be mine, but here we are, we're here tonight. Anyway.
Wow. That's,
I mean, and that's like a deep cut. That's not one
of the... Oh, it is? Okay.
I mean, look, yeah, you could have done it. I never made it as a wise man.
Yeah, that's
but
the
I like
only
the other
one.
I'm alive. I mean, that's If No One Cared is what that one was about.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
So, when I'm the great bard of Little America, being like, tell us another one, man. Oh, yeah, gather around.
Right.
Chad was really on one with this one, huh?
Wait, is his name Chad?
Chad
really?
Kroger.
That's awesome.
Also, he's Canadian. So. Yeah.
Oh. But the great irony of Little America is we're still like, they're like, that's Canadian. I'm like, right. Kill that.
That must never be revealed.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of American culture that is actually Canadian, Paw Patrol.
Oh, that's Canadian as well?
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, so it's a kid's cartoon set in Thunder Bay, a world where adults are usually, like, the adults are incredibly incompetent, and they're often rescued by a small boy named Ryder and a bunch of dogs, Chase, Marshall, Skye, and Rubble. Rubble, yeah. He's the construction guy who like knocks things down and builds them back up. Total badass.
But he's the Chad.
So each dog has a set of skills. The firefighter dog is the comic relief, but he's not very funny, guys.
Okay.
You'd be surprised how unfunny he is. And
I would never think of the firefighter as the funny one.
Yeah. Well,
I would have given the Rubble the Joey Tribbiani kind of treat.
Right. Yeah, Rubble. And Rubble's a bulldog who has like an underbite and is kind of like goofy. But they give Marshall all the quips. I think because Marshall's
he's the Chandler of the group?
Marshall's the fire dog. Yeah, I think he's the Chandler. And he's also, I think, the kid's favorite because he's a fireman.
Firefighter.
Yeah, and he has like a like thing that comes out of his backpack that squirts, that's like a fire hose.
I have one.
So pretty. Yeah, you do have that, actually.
It's called a camelback.
Right. So earlier in the month, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation posted an online interview with a criminology professor, Liam Kennedy, who had just published an article all about Paw Patrol, criticizing the show's problematic neoliberal messaging. Basically, his argument is that the show implies that business is a reasonable alternative to government. The mayor is useless. I mean, like most of the problems come from the mayor just not being able to do anything, right?
Uh-huh.
They're constantly just like, you know, rescuing her from a corner she got stuck in because she didn't turn around or something. So his argument is that they're essentially a private corporation that they...
Are they paid, like, the Paw Patrol?
That's the thing. You never see them paid.
All
so
dark
it's a
money,
pretty
huh?
weak argument because it's not like...
There may be volunteers.
Right.
Either way, they're paramilitary.
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And, but you, it's not like you see other like government provided services failing.
Where they're like, hey, municipal fire department,
right.
Fuck off.
Yeah,
Paw
exactly.
Patrol
you
is
blew
here.
It again, right, municipal right, right. fire department. It's just basically Paw Patrol is the only entity in Thunder Bay that is solving problems for the community. So
where's the Gat Patrol?
The what?
The Gat Patrol.
The Gat Patrol?
Yeah.
What's that?
Isn't that something in 99 Problems that I don't understand?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Gat Patrol.
Well, I don't know what that is, but yeah. I like it.
That is good. There are cats and they're all evil, so I'd say that is the more problematic messaging. All the cats are bad.
I mean, I think he means he has shooters.
Oh, okay, right. Any shooters
if they're
are
on
part
Gap Patrol, that means
okay. Got it. They got, sorry, obviously
they're ready.
Yeah. So I'm on the side of the Canadian criminologist here. I haven't seen Paw Patrol, and I assume he hasn't either. But I'm gonna say, in my neighborhood, this thing happened where these guys started coming from this company called ACS. So they came like door to door.
What's ACS?
So it's a paramilitary organization.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, is it that like wannabe cop guys in like Chargers?
It's like in Gross Point Blank where the guy is like...
They're all over Hollywood, aren't they?
Yeah, that's where I live. So they come door to door and my wife keeps mentioning like our neighbors are doing it and it's not that expensive. And if enough of us do it, there'll be 24-hour surveillance and these guys in cars. I'm like, who are these guys in cars? Do they have guns?
She's
like,
Retired cops.
They do have guns. They seem a little young for retired cops. They have guns. I'm like, they have guns? Like, everyone in our neighborhood is against guns. And we're going to hire people with guns who aren't even cops to like... And she's like...
but they're really good at Call of Duty.
Right.
And she's like, well, there's just been more crime. Like, there is no crime in our neighborhood.
Right.
And so sure enough, one day I come home and there's a guy in a uniform at our table. There's forms being signed. And now I'm a member of the ACS thing.
Wow.
So I'm hiring my own Paw Patrol. And then not long after we've hired Paw Patrol, there's some flashlights on our deck, and like 2 a.m. And my wife wakes me up and she's like, what's that? And I'm like, oh, it's just helicopter lights, which it was obviously not true. And by the way, even if it like, was, that's worse.
Leave me alone.
Right?
Yeah.
So I go to the deck and the flashlights disappear. And she's like, and I have like a choice where I could either go outside or I could call ACS.
Right.
I definitely called ACS.
Okay.
So the next thing I know, the cops come to this is in my book, actually. The cops come to my door and I look out my window and they seem like laughing. So I open the door and they're dead serious and annoyed.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, your next door neighbor has a different paramilitary Paw Patrol service. And he's on vacation. So they were checking his yard with flashlights, which triggered your paramilitary Paw Patrol. And they could have shot at each other.
Yeah.
We could have all died and our houses would have been left for Bernie to give. So I'm against. I think the Paw Patrol is nothing but trouble.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's legal.
You know, these paramilitary cops. Yeah, well, that's where we're headed, baby. You know, man, why don't we take that off your hands, city?
Yeah. It's South Africa. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I do think that generally, you know, it's an impressionable audience. I don't think they're fully grasping the messaging here, but you know, one day it could trickle down into their thinking on other things.
And I didn't mention, I'm sorry, that the people at ACS they're all dogs.
They're all dogs, so, armed dogs, yes. Which is, yeah. And a 12-year-old.
He's good, the though. Manager. He's good. He runs the thing.
Yeah, he runs a tight ship. So anyways, this is causing like Fox News to be like, we can't have children's cartoons anymore. And they're really mad and they're claiming it's a CBC like report when it's actually the CBC interviewing a guy who said a thing being totally tongue in cheek.
Not just the guy, Liam Harper.
Right.
Yeah.
Liam Kennedy. I'm sorry.
Right,
yeah.
I was close.
It's becoming sort of a thing.
Just over some paws, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not to be a conspiracy theorist, but is he a Kennedy?
Could be.
Yeah.
You never know. Yeah. Thought so.
Thought
hadn't
so.
Looked into that.
Check and fucking mate.
Well, Joel, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
Where I'm exhausted. How do you guys do this every day?
Coffee. Cold
brew. A lot of coffee.
Costco cold brew.
Got it.
Where can people find you, follow
right here,
you?
Right here, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. You're on social media. You're on Twitter. People can follow you there. You're a great follow. You also are an author and you have a book that people should go buy.
Yeah, buy a couple.
Yeah. I highly recommend it. It doesn't work that well until you get a couple of them.
Yep.
The book doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yep. I gotta read to it. There we go.
There it is.
there's
now
the words.
I see. Yeah. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media that you've been enjoying?
I did. I liked something I thought was really smart that Virginia Heffernan tweeted, and I wrote it down for you guys. Virtue signaling is standard snoozy hypocrisy, but vice signaling, Trump's hideous shakedown of Ukraine and New York, bar-fixing Stone's case, and all the running with the devil, is white-collar Ozzy Osbourne. The bar fix has got to be the DC equivalent of biting off the head of a bat. Wow. I love the idea of vice signaling.
Right,
vice
like signaling, all the white
I think is a big
like,
thing
oh,
Trump's doing.
Shit. Yeah.
Let him know.
Miles, where can people find you?
Follow Twitter, you. Instagram, at Miles of Gray, and on my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé, discussing the seminal TV show 90 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra. A tweet I like is from at Major Trans Celeb. It says, I don't need a kombucha company to have an origin story. Which is, I feel like anytime you lift the label of anything with kombucha on it, it starts off with some whimsical thing about like, it all started. Or kombucha can be
traced back.
Is
it in the garage or where does the kombucha company start?
It all depends which company you're looking at, man. You know?
Yeah, just on the floor. They just, yeah.
Don't come from my booch,
all the,
man.
All the runoff. A tweet I've been enjoying, at Drill tweeted, if a four-year-old child tried to accidentally shoot me, I would simply disarm it by using a complete arm latch into tactical 100% body roll. And then, yeah, that's it. You can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter, @DailyZeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding out on today?
This is from producer Denny LaFleur. We had one of the tracks maybe 2 weeks ago, but this is another one called 1200. Again, if you like the sample-based hip-hop instrumentals, you know, freestyle to this one in your car and freak your kids out. And let them know, yeah, Dad used to be in a rap group. Okay? Dad used to be in a really sick rap group.
We all used to be in rap groups, kids. We all...
Maybe that's our that's thing, our Lance yeah. Armstrong for our generation when yeah. we revert to something to feel magical again. I'm like, oh, my dad's back in his rapper phase.
Yeah. We were trying to talk about, trying to figure out what, like, the way that, you know, people who are of a certain age now dress in all, like, Lance Armstrong gear and go biking what? With their friends. Do you not know? Have you
like
not seen
like middle-aged biker?
Like, have you seen This Is 40? The
yes, no, yeah. I'm in that Paul Rudd demo, and This Is 40.
Are
but,
you?
Oh, you don't mean literally Lance Armstrong outfits? You mean no. just cycling gear?
Yeah, just cycling gear. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like way professional, and like you're like you're sir, you're not even fit enough to.
I've okay. been to the Lance Armstrong bike cycling store in
wow.
Austin, where you can get the
yellow strong. Thing. Yeah,
Mello Johnny's.
Yeah,
as in Mayo Jean. But I didn't buy it.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out what the next thing
for millennials
what,
is.
What the millennial version.
Oh, the equivalent. That's the Gen X version.
Outfit. Right, that's the Gen X.
Oh, yeah, like when you're like trying to recapture it. It's a crisis outfit, man. It's like, oh, boy. It's like there's a pack of people in the midst of a crisis.
Right.
Wait, did you come up with something for millennials?
We couldn't
just trying
of
to
it.
Rack our brain. I felt like I had thought of something a long time ago, but I know it, we're all going to have that thing.
Yeah.
But what's it
we're thinking
be?
Like Kanye outfits, like Kanye clothing.
Like your Yeezys? Or,
right.
Or
like
just wearing
Yeezys
like oversized,
like oversized
sweat, everything.
It has to be a little expensive.
Right.
And the good thing about that This Is 40 cycling thing is it when you hit the age that I am, you do have this crisis of body.
Yeah, yeah.
And the cycling thing is such a great
way in.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, with millennials, like, fuck trying to exercise. Just wear baggier sweatshirts.
Right, exactly.
It's probably some kind
Hide
of
it
at
is.
All. Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to ride out on that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We will be back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and then back tomorrow with more podcasts. And we will see you tonight, Minneapolis. Bye.
Bye.
From Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.